Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Station agents report to your stations. Nearly 500 subway station agents, you know, the workers formerly known as token booth clerks, were supposed to get laid off as of tomorrow and, in fact, turn in their official MTA belongings this morning. But late last night, a judge issued an injunction to block those layoffs, as you just heard Matthew Sherman report on the news, block them at least temporarily. A follow-up hearing is scheduled for today. Issues include due process and how the layoffs were decided upon, and also public safety. So Matthew Sherman, who just ran in our door even as I was speaking these words, is back from reporting this story in the field. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Brian.
You hear he's out of breath. And Andrew Albert is also with us. He's chairman of the New York City Transit Riders Council. That's a riders advocacy group. Andrew, thanks a lot for coming on WNYC.
Oh, you're welcome.
And our phones are open first for anyone who works or who has ever worked as a station agent, formerly known as a token booth clerk. Call up and talk about life in the booth or this case. 212-433-WNYC. In fact, defend your existence. Some people say, we can automate the whole thing now and don't need any station agents anymore with the MetroCard era upon us. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Station agents only for the next few minutes, 212-433-9692, or anyone who has ever worked in that job. Matthew, what's the latest?
The latest is I was just over at the Supreme Court building on Center Street, where they're expected to begin a hearing later this morning. The TWU, the Transport Workers Union, they hadn't quite arrived when I was there, but they were expected to arrive any moment. This hearing will basically give the MTA a chance to respond to the temporary injunction and lay out their case as to why they followed the procedures that were necessary and that the layoffs can proceed.
I didn't know that court is in session in the middle of the night. Tell us who the judge is and what exactly happened while most of us were sleeping.
Let's see. The judge's name was Alice Schlesinger, and I don't know too much about this proceeding. I think that courts do go all night in New York City, like everything else in this town. And what I heard from union officials was that they started laying out their case before the judge at 9 o'clock last night. What they told me, Maurice Jenkins, who's the vice president for the Transport Workers Union in charge of the station agent division, was that at about 2 a.m., the judge handed down this temporary injunction. The case, I should say, isn't about the layoffs per se. It's really about whether or not the MTA has followed the correct procedures in closing down the station booths. There are about 200 booths that they have been closing starting last fall, again a few this spring. And if they didn't follow the correct procedures in closing the booths, then I guess one of the side effects is that they won't be able to lay off the station agents. They will need station agents to man those booths.
Huh. So it's really about the booths, the physical structures, rather than the people?
At this point, that's right. But since the MTA needs people to staff the booths, if the booths remain open, then that means that they need the staff.
Andrew Albert, are you following the details of this case?
I am important? I am following this.
All right. So what do you want to add, first of all, just on what's going on Matthew reported?
Sure. We've been on record as saying that we think booth agents provide an important presence. There are some people that think they don't do anything, but at least if they are there, they have the ability to call the police, to broadcast somebody's description, and to buzz somebody in if they have a walker or a cane or an oversized package. Right now, we don't have electronic or any other substitutes for these folks.
Listeners, if you're a station booth clerk, if you've ever been a station booth clerk, call us up, 212-433-WNYC. Don't be shy. There got to be station booth clerks in our listening audience. So far, none of you calling in, although we have some passengers calling in with various points of view about station agents. Anyone may call, but anyone who's ever been one of these station agents, 212-433-9692. 9-2. Tell us more, Andrew, about your writers group's position. Are you trying to preserve as many of these station agent jobs as possible?
Well, you know, in this era where we almost had a car bomb blow up in Times Square, where we've had plots to blow up the subways and God knows how many other places in New York that people could be plotting right now, why would we be taking eyes and ears away from the system? Obviously, it's just dollars and cents, but it doesn't make any sense. Even the Department of Homeland Security said this was a ridiculous idea, and I happen to agree. I didn't need them to tell me that this was a bad idea. If you go down right now, there are places in the system where there are no booth agents and no heats. That's the high exit entry turnstile. So it's just a regular bank of turnstiles. People are going through them with impunity now. So not only is the system losing money, the MTA estimates $27 million on an annual basis. We think it's much higher than that. We're going to do a survey of some of these emergency slam gates. People are going in that way as well. And nobody's there to stop anybody.
How can you get through a regular turnstile? When you say just the regular turnstile, you mean the new ones that are kind of full body height?
Yeah.
Or just the, because you
not,
can't sneak
not
in
the
those,
one,
right?
Not, you can hop over them if you're agile.
But there are a few cases, I guess. I think what you're asking, Brian, is how can there be fare evasion if they're replacing station booths, station agents with these high entry exit turnstiles,
right.
If I understand correctly.
Right, replacing the old waist level revolving.
See, there aren't those in lots of places. There are places where there are no booth agents and no high entry exit turnstiles, just the regular turnstiles.
Now, did the judge's ruling have anything to do with public safety? Because as I'm looking at a quote from the New York Post website, it says the TWU argued in court in documents. Oh, I see. This is the union's argument that the MTA didn't give the booth closures public hearings, notify the local community boards, or make, quote, adequate alternate arrangements for the safety and convenience of the public. And you brought this up too, Andrew, but is that their jobs? I mean, are they there to sell fare cards? Are they also trained and told that they're in the business of being security guards?
They are not really there anymore to sell fare cards. You know, the vast majority of fare is purchased at the MetroCard vending machines. They are there to give directions. They are there to provide a presence. They are there to buzz somebody in if they are not ambulatory or if they need special assistance. In some cases, they're there to give directions. Some of these things could be accomplished electronically, but until those are in place, this is just a ridiculous idea.
Here is Carl in the Bronx who says he was about to be laid off today. Carl, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Brian, for having me. I was on my way down there this morning when, in fact, I did get a call stating that it's been rescinded at this particular point. So I'm very happy at this particular time.
Do you have any hopes? Is the union giving you any hopes for long-term preservation of your job?
Well, I did go to a meeting on Tuesday, and this is one of the last points that they did make, that it was going to try to get it rescinded through the court system. And, in fact, it did come through, so I'm very happy with that.
Carl, how long have you been a station agent?
4 years and 4 months.
Where do you work?
I am now what's called extra, where I float somewhere different every day. But I did have a permanent station for the past five picks, which was 175th Street on the George Washington Bridge bus terminal.
Uh-huh. That's one of the stations
I pass on a regular basis.
Busy. Yeah. And is it that now that station, because it's at that uptown bus terminal, I presume some of the booths will remain open? They're just cutting back on the number of booths?
Well, actually, the next station going uptown, 181st Street, will be closed. But my particular station that I was at, that will remain open.
Carl, what about you? What, if you are laid off, do you plan to do next?
Well, what I plan to do is, basically just get right back out there and try to, put myself out there to try to find some work, get my resume together. They were going to offer some actual skills and practicing doing entrepreneurial work and stuff like that. So that's what I was looking forward to doing.
Carl, best of luck to you. I hope you get to keep your job, but if not, good luck.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you for calling in. And WNYC's Matthew Sherman, what kinds of stations in general are losing their agents or losing their booths? I was surprised to hear him reference 175th Street on the A-Train line, again, because of the busyness of that station and the fact that it is a transfer point to that uptown Port Authority bus terminal.
The MTA is keeping one station booth at every 468 stations in the system manned or womaned for 24 hours. And so what basically happens is that if you have on a standard train, especially on the IRT lines, the Lexington Avenue and the 7th Avenue line in Manhattan, you'll have an uptown side and a downtown side, each with one booth, sometimes with two booths, depending on how busy each entrance is. And so you might have the uptown side staffed, but not the downtown side. And that's what they're doing, you know, throughout the system. They're also removing at busy stations like Times Square, Union Square, Herald Square. They are removing some booths. I think that they probably have at least two, if not more, open at those really busy stations, though.
WNYC's Matthew Sherman, Andrew Albert, chairman of the New York City Transit Riders Council, as we talk about the at least temporary delay in the laying off of about 500 subway station agents. And you wouldn't believe, or maybe you would, all the calls that we're getting from people who want to hate on these agents. Vincent in the Bronx, you're on WNYC.
Yeah, hi, Brian. Hey, listen, I'm sorry. I have no compassion for these station agents. I take the 161st Street Yankee Stadium train station. And these guys, there's two and three in a booth, all talking to themselves, not paying attention to the customer. You know, then you have to repeat it to them again. I want $10 or I want $5. And people just waiting in line there. The trains are coming. I'd rather deal with the machines. The only thing is that machines, they always give you these coins as change.
Vince,
I'm sorry.
Vincent, thank you. Bob in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Brian.
Go ahead.
I have to agree to some extent with the previous caller. I have been inside the MTA, and I could say that a lot of the employees there are really dedicated, passionate people, and they're very, very nice and polite. But the face of the MTA are these gatekeepers, the people in the booths. And I think that if they were just nicer to everybody, then I think everyone would have a lot more sympathy for them. But I don't find them to be helpful. I don't find them to be a safety measure. I don't find them to – they treat us – the MTA, therefore, then treats its riders as though we are a burden, not a customer. And that's the face that they put forward.
Bob, thank you for your call. And Andrew, Albert, I'm not going to pile on by continuing to take those calls, but I could. Your group is a riders advocacy group, so do you kind of represent these complaints against the agents?
Well, you know, there's no question that when you have – this number of employees, some of them are not going to be the nicest people. And perhaps being cooped up in a booth for 8 or 9 hours isn't the greatest job in the world. But that's why when they became, quote, customer service agents and came outside the booth and assisted people, almost every rider said, oh, they're much nicer when you can talk to them face-to-face when they don't have that bulletproof glass between them. So, you know, we were in favor of the roving customer service agent model where they could, you know, go look up and down the platforms. That, unfortunately, did not happen. There was no way to reach them by walkie-talkie, which is what we had hoped was going to happen. They basically stayed by the booth or in the booth, which is where you'd think they would be. But so, you know, obviously, when you have hundreds and hundreds of folks like this, some of them are not going to be the nicest.
And we do have some positive stories coming in, I should mention. Becca on our Facebook page, I dislocated my knee on the Q train. How do you dislocate your knee on the Q train? The station agent called the police and the EMTs and made sure I was okay while we waited for them. I don't know what I would have done if there was no one in the station. Matthew?
Yes, I just wanted to add, Brian, that I talked to a number of station agents and have found interesting stories about what they did before they got to where they are. One fellow I spoke with this morning, for example, he's 41. He said that over the past 20 years, he's had a lot of jobs, most recently as the manager of an art store. And about 4 years ago, he decided he wanted to get into the MTA to find himself a steady civil service job with a good pension and good pay. And he thought he had made it, and then he found out
that he's going to get laid off.
That's right. So these people who do have these jobs, they come from a variety of backgrounds, and some of them, you know, leave good jobs, but maybe not good enough for them in order to become station agents.
I assume it's the layoffs are being done by seniority. So you said he did it about 4 years ago. Our caller Carl from the Bronx, who said he's getting laid off, was on the job for about 4 years. Is that about where the line is?
Yeah, about four, actually five is what I heard, 5 years of seniority or less. Chances are you will be laid off. A lot of these people are people who sub in for other regular station agents. So Carl, for example, might have taken over on a regular day off or might learn the day before where to report to duty.
As he was describing. How many total station agents are there?
There are somewhere a little bit more than 3,000, maybe 3,200 or so.
So this is about 500 layoffs out of about 3,000 workers, Andrew, maybe one out of every six, or 85% or so get to keep their jobs. But this is a lot of layoffs. And, Andrew, you know, one of the union's arguments has been that this is misuse, that is, that the MTA is misusing stimulus money, because stimulus money from Washington is designed precisely to keep people employed. And they're saying, well, they're going out and spending all the stimulus money on capital projects like the Fulton Street Station. Yep. Meanwhile, they're laying off rank-and-file workers. Construction is not what the stimulus money is for. Jobs is what the stimulus money is for. Do you think they have either a legal or a moral leg to stand on there, in your opinion?
I think they have a good point. Many cities have chosen to use up to 10%, which is what is allowable under the law, of their stimulus money for operations, and the MTA is not doing that. Had they done that, we could probably have avoided a good deal of the service cuts that we're going to see at the end of June, and probably some of these layoffs.
But Matthew, was that a case? Was that part of the case before Judge Schlesinger last night, or is that really not in her jurisdiction? Whether this is illegal use of stimulus money?
You know, I don't think that is really the case here. My understanding of the stimulus money is that transit systems around the country have the option of using 10% of their stimulus dollars. It's not a mandatory sort of thing. Certainly, many other systems around the country have chosen to do so, but New York City says it wants to avoid doing that. It doesn't want
to. To be honest, the reason the MTA is not doing this, and you, in a way you can't quarrel with it, is that that would make this a one-shot, and what do you do the next year? We obviously need a long-term, predictable funding source for our transit system, and the payroll mobility tax has shown that it is not the right one.
You know, Andrew, if I could just jump in here, I wanted to clarify something you had said earlier, which is that the Department of Homeland Security had said that this was a bad idea. I hadn't heard that before.
Oh, yeah. They came out and said, you know, we think taking eyes and ears away is not a great idea. I heard that before the last full MTA board meeting, which is why I used it there.
And it wasn't the congressional delegation that had said this. It was actually
the Department of Homeland Security. You know, taking eyes and ears away doesn't sound like a great idea, I believe is the way they put it.
But, wow. And after Saturday night in Times Square, you probably saw the headline in the Post today on the front cover. Thanks, Faisal. Inept terror thug saves 900 cop jobs. And the conclusion, at least, that the Post is coming to is that Mayor Bloomberg's budget being released today does not include the 900 police officer layoffs that had been expected because of what happened the other night, so that the public is not in the mood for this right now. They'll lay off some extra teachers or something. You know, one could make the same argument by what you said about the station agents, but I guess nobody in a prominent enough position is.
No, nobody is.
And that's where we have to leave it, except for this person writing in, who says, have I told you about my station agent who sold bootleg DVDs from inside the booth? He lined them up against the window. All right. WNYC's Matthew Sherman.
Thanks, Brian.
Covering the case. Thanks a lot. Andrew Albert, who is chairman of the New York City Transit Writers Council, a writers advocacy group. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
And good luck to any of you who are station agents who are listening, like Carl, who may in fact lose your jobs after tomorrow or so. And anybody who wants to continue to post your station agent stories or suggestions for how to improve the remaining station booth system, do so on our page for that at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Stay with us, folks.